Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
So now that that is over, I wanted to just say welcome, Cindy Lee, for being here. Excited to hear about your new offerings with Sustainable Yoga for Life. Cindy is the first female Western yoga teacher to fully integrate yoga asana and Tibetan Buddhism in her practice and teaching. She's the founder of New York City's Om Yoga Center, which was open from 98 to 2012, and it was a mecca for yogis worldwide. I went there as well to study with her, and it was a beautiful space. Cindy's one of the most influential international teachers, having trained thousands of students and teachers throughout the US, Asia, and Europe. She's also an author and has written four books. And I am excited to hear more about what she's got going on these days. So I'll let you take it away, Cindy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. It's so great to see you, an Omi, blast from the past. So welcome everyone. Thanks for being here together today. As you can tell from the bio Jessica read, I've been practicing yoga for about 40 years, I think exactly 40 years, and I've been teaching vinyasa for about 30 years. And during that time, before the pandemic, of course, I was traveling a lot. I did a lot of traveling and teaching all over the world, which was, like an amazing gift and opportunity. And I discovered that a lot of people are practicing something that they call vinyasa, and they have all different ideas about what vinyasa means. Some people tell me that they think vinyasa means hot, fast, loud. Some people will say it means moving the breath. And other people will say vinyasa means flow. And of course, it's a big world, and yoga is an ocean, and it's a breathing entity. So I think everybody is right. But in this class, the way I teach, I like to work with traditional definition of vinyasa, which is to place in a special way. When we translate that Sanskrit term vinyasa, place in a special way. There's so much richness in that definition. Just even saying placing in a special way. When we place something, we're usually having some attention to how we do that. We're not just plopping, sticking something down, tossing it around, whatever. We're taking care with how we move. In our vinyasa practice, we take care with how we place our body in relationship to the earth below us, in relationship to the sky above us. We take care with how we place our body in space and how we place the different parts of our body in relationship to each other. We tend to call that alignment. So the idea of placing in a special way indicates a quality of care and a quality of attention. During those 40 years or so, I've also been doing some other things. And one thing that I do a lot, or some things that I do a lot, that I love doing as much as yoga, is are things that come under the category of maker. I knit, I sew, I embroider, I crochet, all the time, every day. And through getting deeper and deeper into this kind of maker work, the maker community over the years, I have, of course, encountered and become very interested and inspired by a concept called slow fashion. Slow fashion basically means taking care of our clothes, not buying too much, not having what we don't want, or always feeling like we want more, not tossing things out when they're a little bit torn, but repairing them or repurposing them, taking your old jeans and turning them into a tote bag or a hippie skirt, or patching them and patching the patch and patching the patch. And, you know, also understanding who made our clothes, who grew the cotton, who picked the cotton, who drove the truck that made the cotton, you know, go to the factory, who works in the factory. How much do they get paid? All of this is part of the sustainable movement of slow fashion. So I started to think about this a lot, and I wondered, is there a way to apply this approach and these principles to yoga? So slow fashion is about sustainability. Here's the definition of sustainability. Sustainability is about meeting the needs of the present without compromising your ability to meet your needs in the future. I'll just say it again. Sustainability is about meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of your needs to be met in the future. And so I thought about this, I really thought about this a lot as regards our body. I remembered a quote from Mr. Iyengar. This is really my favorite quote from Mr. Iyengar. And he said this at the Yoga Journal conference, I think in 1999, so he was maybe, I don't know, he's pretty old, 75 or 80, something like this. And he said something like, I have spent the last 70 years of my life exploring what happens to my sternum when I press my big down. In other words, what are the effects of my actions? And that's what yoga is. It's about relationship. And so we can start by asking that question toward ourselves. What are the effects of my thoughts, my speech, my actions? And this is also telling us, Mr. Iyengar was telling us, that yoga is not just about what we do, but about how we do what we do. It's about our relationships. It's a system. It's a functional system for working with ourselves and all of our relationships. So I started to feel that the path to sustainability in your body, the path to sustainable yoga, to being able to practice yoga your whole life, is to be able to include all the parts of you, not to reject anything. This is not so easy. You might have a pain here. Maybe you had a hip replacement like I did 2 years ago. Maybe you had two hip replacements like I did years ago, 2 years ago. We include it all. We have a tendency to want to ignore the parts we don't like, but they're still there. So this radically inclusive approach to yourself, we can include all the parts of who we are. And as we change, then we can work in a way that's sustainable, and it invites curiosity. What can I do myself as I am? It invites appreciation and delight and freshness. And this also connects into your relationships with other people and everything. And this is how we can start to really get familiar with who we are. And it's said in the Buddhist teachings that who we are at our core is basic goodness. And it also tells us that the way to practice is to start with yourself. So one very good method for practicing and getting to know yourself, getting familiar with yourself, warts and all, and making friends with all of that, is mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness has a similar definition to sustainability, to vinyasa. The definition of mindfulness is placing the mind. We're always placing the mind. Mindfulness meditation is consciously placing the mind. So instead of the mind placing itself as it usually does in the past, in the future, on, you know, internal dialogue, just ongoing, or songs from the radio, or, you know, cycling rants, we can consciously place the mind. And when it strays, we can recognize that and replace the mind. And that's called mindfulness meditation. So we'll start with 3 minutes of a mindfulness meditation practice right now. To quote from one of my teachers, the great Inkyo Roshi from the Village Zendo in New York, we start with that part of your mind that you call your body. So please find a good posture. If you're sitting on the floor, you can feel your seat on the floor on a cushion. If you're sitting in a chair, you can feel your seat on the chair, feet grounded on the floor. Place your palms down, right at the top of your thighs, just above your knees, just giving a little bit of weight. So you're feeling the earth beneath you. And from here, draw your spine up. Soft front, strong back. Nice open throat. Try to let your jaw be soft. Let your tongue drop to the bottom of your mouth. And just take a look at what's right in front of you. Eyes are open. Instead of reaching with your eyes, just let whatever's in front come into you. So the eyes come out of acquisition mode and we're really quiet and receptive. And then from here, tuck your chin slightly so your gaze goes down toward the floor about 4 feet in front of you. We're not really looking at the floor, we just happen to have the eyes open. Now begin to tune into the feeling of your natural breathing, just as it is right now. No need to change the breath. Try to avoid manipulating the breath or visualizing the breath or analyzing the breath. This practice is not really about the breath, it's about the mind. We're getting familiar with how the mind works. Mind makes thoughts. And sometimes it stops making thoughts. So we're getting familiar with that. And we use the breath as the home base for where we place our mind. So now bring your attention to the sensation of the breath right at the edge of your nostrils. And whenever you realize that your mind has strayed, which will happen, you know, many times, when you realize that, you've actually come out of a thought and you've come into that place where your thoughts stopped naturally. And you can recognize that sense of opening, that gap. And from there, gently but firmly, replace the mind on the feeling of the breath. And this is the practice of mindfulness meditation. We'll sit like this for 3 minutes. Ding. Ding, ding. So I'm going to just make a little transition over to my mat. And we'll do, we don't have a lot of time and it's a very short class, but we'll do a short practice together. I did want to say, I saw your question, Joanne, and I'll talk a little bit more about strengthening exercises and working with wrists, but this is really just a short practice and not so much a workshop, but I am teaching a class, which I'll tell you about at the end, that will go way more into that kind of work. Okay, so I'll meet you on your mat. Seat on your, you can sit like this with your legs tucked under, or you can, I wonder if we should move that a little bit so the lighting can you see how the lighting is? Can you move the back of the computer a little bit so it's
towards you?
Yeah, just try that so it's not so dark. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So have a seat. I'm sitting in Vajrasana on a block. You can sit like this. You can sit with your legs crossed, however you prefer. Again, just taking a moment to connect down. And then rub your legs. Just rub your legs. Make a little warmth. Make a little heat here. Make circles on your knees. In both directions. And then rub the sides of your legs. And just take a moment to think about your awesome legs and all that they've done for you. And then reach around and rub your sacrum. Just rub your low back, make a little warmth there. Bring your hands around and rub your chest. Mm-hmm. Nice and friendly. And then rub your hands together. Again, making some warmth. And cup your warm hands over your face. Take a breath in. And as you exhale, let your hands drip down your body. Until they come 1 inch above your legs, just 1 inch. And see if you can feel that heat right now between your hands and your legs. Take a breath in. And as you exhale, let your hands come down and sit a little bit taller. From here, let's inhale with the arms up alongside your ears. And exhale, arms down. Inhale, arms up. Exhale, arms down. Inhale, arms up. This time as you exhale, side bend to the right. Inhale all the way up and over to the left. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale all the way up. This time as you exhale, twist to the right. Let your left hand come onto your thigh and your right hand on your sacrum. You can rub your sacrum again a little bit here. And then roll your right shoulder open a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Slowly turn your head and look all the way over your left shoulder. And then come back looking forward. Right arm comes around, big hug. From here, maybe you can come into eagle arms. You can also put the backs of your hands together. You can stay in a hug, or you can just touch the backs of your hands together. It's all fine. Mm-hmm. Good. And then just take a breath into the space between your shoulder blades, as if you had nostrils between your shoulder blades. Release your arms, backstroke, big backstroke. One more big backstroke. Good. And reach your arms out. Externally rotate the arms so the palms face up. Internally rotate. Externally rotate. Internally rotate. Externally rotate. Inhale the arms all the way up. And exhale. Press your Press your toenails down to lift the arms up so you can feel that relationship. And reach the crown of the head up as the arms float down. Inhale, arms up, side bend the other way. Good. Inhale, arms up. Exhale, side bend. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, all the way up, twist to the left, rub your sacrum, roll the left shoulder open, and then look all the way over, see everything along the way, looking over your right shoulder. Come back to the center, left arm hugs, big hug. And then lift your elbows like you're taking off your t-shirt. That's the way. And come right onto your hands and knees. Now, if you have blocks, sometimes it's nice to do this, not that you necessarily need the blocks to be in this position. But with the toes tucked under, we can do something interesting here. So just let your spine sink. And open the chest. And then press underneath, press into your toes to tuck the pelvis under and let the head drop. Press under your hands to spin the seat up. Lift your chest and look up. Press under the toes to initiate the curling of the spine. Press under the fingers and open the chest. One more time like that. Press under the toes to curl the spine. Let the head go the last thing down. Press the fingers, spin the seat, and look up. Good. From here, see if you can just lift your knees up an inch and then straighten one leg and change and change. So this isn't exactly a plank and it isn't exactly a down dog. And then bring both knees down. And from here, we'll take the blocks away. I'm not sure if you can see this, but we're going to try. This is a wrist exercise. I'll show you with just one hand first. Curl the fingers in and then roll over your wrist. Baby finger, next finger, 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 curl over the wrist. And one more time. This has helped me a lot. I don't have any problem in my wrists anymore. Other side, curl the fingers in and roll around. Curl and roll around. Curl and roll around. Good. And from here, lift your hips into kind of a skinny little down dog. Slowly, like a walking meditation, placing in a special way. Round up to standing. It's okay. With your right hand, with your left hand, sorry, bring your thumb inside and wrap your fingers around like this, and your other hand on top. So this is the walking meditation mudra. And we'll do a slow walking meditation to the front of the mat. And then walk backwards to the back of the mat. Tuning into the feeling of the mat under your feet. When your mind strays, walk forward to the middle of the mat. When your mind strays, come back to the feeling of your feet. Okay. From here, place your hands on your hips. And we're just going to move the ankle bones a little bit, side to side. It's a very small movement. You don't want your whole body to move. Just strengthening the feet. A little bit of action here. Ankles moving side to side. And then come back to the center. Place one hand on your sacrum and one hand on your sternum. And then energetically move them away from each other. So tailbone goes down, sternum up. And then feel that they both come towards the center of the body. So you're gathering together. And from here, hands on your hips, just lift your left heel and replace it. right heel and make sure your heel isn't rolling out or in and replace. Lift your left heel. Try to avoid slumping into the other side and replace it. And right heel and replace it. We're going to add on to that. So come into an Uttanasana, a chair pose. Good. And as you exhale, stand all the way up, hands on your hips, and lift your left leg. Here we go again. Inhale, Utkatasana. As you exhale, stand up, right leg. Inhale, Utkatasana. Exhale, left leg. Oops. Inhale, Utkatasana. Exhale, right leg. Inhale, Utkatasana. Exhale, left leg. Inhale, Utkatasana. Exhale, right leg. One more time. Inhale, Utkatasana. As you stand up, let's stay right here in this balance. Lift your arms all the way up. Utkatasana. Here we go. Right leg all the way up. You're reaching down to go up. Arms up. And then keep reaching up as you come back down. Good. Stand all the way up and float your arms down. Okay. My special guest student, Radhika Bateman. Coming here to the mat. So can you come into a lunge? Actually, why don't you come into a down dog with your hands on the blocks? Good. So we're gonna work slowly. Take a breath in, and as you exhale, step your right foot between the blocks. You're gonna try and really hover the S. And open the chest. Exhale, step back to downward dog. Let it come from the lift of the back thigh. Other side, left leg comes forward. And think about the back leg getting stronger and straighter. Yeah, so you're reaching your thighs away from each other. Lift your right thigh so much it takes you back into down dog. Good. Right leg steps forward, left leg gets longer. Take your time and arrive. Good. And then from here, open your chest a little bit. Good. As you exhale, just twist to the right. Take your right arm up to the ceiling. And keep your weight on the inner right foot. Back leg is long. Spine moves into the body. Good. Maybe you can bring your right hand behind your head like you're a model. Very good. Reach your right arm up. Place it on your block. Feel the very moment it touches and step into downward facing dog. Breathe in. Exhale, slowly take the left leg forward and the right leg gets longer as you do longer. Open your chest. Good. Now, there's a tendency for this front knee to fall open, but we're going to keep the inner foot grounded as you twist to the left. Move your spine into your. Yeah, so you can twist a little bit less and bend your front knee a little bit more and really lengthen the back leg. The back leg, the reach of the back leg is what opens your chest. Good. Hand behind your head. Maybe you look up. And it's interesting to see how different each side is. Try not to let your outer right droop. Good. Arm up. You place it. And step forward with your right foot. Good. Utkatasana. And stand in Tadasana. Inhale, Utkatasana. Exhale, fold in half. Good. And from here, step your right leg back and your left leg into downward facing dog. Good. Bring your knees to the floor. Good. And if you're just going to have a seat, swing your legs around and come onto your, actually come onto your tummy. Just lie down on your tummy. Good. And arms by your side. Good. So you can turn your palms up here. So I like to do this because it really opens. You can open the shoulders and engage the back here. And then really lengthen your legs. Imagine that the tops of your toes are touching the wall beneath you. And you're doing a great job of not letting your ankles roll out or in. From here, lift your shoulders again, then lift your chest, lift your sternum, and lastly your head. Deep press down. You can really press the tops of your feet down. Spread your toes wide. Then lift your arms up. So that's not going to be a lot. And we're going to pump here for 50. So here you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Keep breathing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Isn't this fun? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Only 10 more. 10, 9, breathe, 8, 7, keep breathing, 4, 3, 2. From here, place your right hand under your shoulder. Feel the moment it touches your left hand. Good. Press back into Vajrasana. So you're pressing your hips back onto your heels. And then you can just swing around, Brad, and lie down on your back. So this is a really a mini class, just kind of hitting some of the spots and trying to really pay attention and bring mindfulness into our practice. Okay. Bend your right leg and place your right foot on the floor. And then place your left foot on the floor. Press your feet down. Press your hands down. Press your shoulders down. Lift your hips. I'm going to slide this up. Bolster underneath, actually take your hands a little wider. I'm going to put a bolster under his hips. If you don't have a bolster, you can do this on the floor. You could do it on a couple of blocks or some pillows. Doesn't really matter. One at a time, bring your knees into, towards your chest. Good. And then I'm going to use a block, and I'm getting a block that's not as heavy as a cork block. I'm going to put this between his shins like this, okay? So not between the knees and not between the thighs, but between the lower limbs. So that is to help you, okay, keep your knees and your ankles and your feet in line, okay? So we don't want the feet to come together, which would be trying to, you know, externally rotate the legs. Good. Take your arms all the way out to the side. Very minimal movement here. Take your knees to the left. Look to the right. Scoop your belly to the right. Just there. Just there. Don't go too far. Mm-hmm. Good. And then press down into the center and over to the other side. Keep squeezing the block. Don't let your feet get soft. Yeah. Look to the left. Mm-hmm. Inhale up. And we'll do it three more times. Over to the left. Right feet. Inhale. Over to the right. Mm-hmm. Two more times. Inhale. Exhale. This is actually really working your shoulders too and your upper back. Inhale. And over to the other side. Don't drop your block. Mm-hmm. Right feet. Uh-huh. One more time each side. Yeah. Think about your feet. Think about your hands and the relationship. Inhale. And over to the other side. And back to the center. I'm going to take the block out. You can get your block and extend your legs up to the ceiling. That's it. And you can keep them apart. It's totally fine if your knees don't bend. If your knees don't straighten, yeah. If your knees bend, that's interesting. And if they straighten, that's interesting. Separate your feet about 5 inches. Slowly circle your ankles. Uh-huh. Take the time to feel every toe. Yeah, in both directions. Try not to move your legs, just your ankles and feet. That's it. Take your time. Take your time. And look at your feet so you can see how you're doing. That's the way. Good. Squeeze your toes like you're picking up a pencil. Spread your toes wide. Jazz toes. Pick up a pencil. Jazz toes. Pick up a pencil. Jazz toes. Pick up a pencil. Jazz toes. Wiggle your toes like you're waving. And then slowly move your toes like you're writing a love haiku. So that's a love haiku. There we go. Good. Let your heels just drop towards your bum. Yeah. Good. And then take them up again and let them drop. Boom. Two more times. Reach up and let go. Nice and easy. And up and let go. From here, slowly place your left foot on the floor. Feel the very moment it touches. And then bring it back in as your right foot goes down. So you're pedaling and slowly feel the moment it touches and change. Feel the moment it touches and change. Very subtle, yeah, abdominal work without stressing anything. Take your time, take your time. Feel the moment it touches, and then let's stay there, and the other foot comes down as well. And just stay right here for a couple of breaths and see how everything feels. How do you feel after doing this little tiny practice? And then you can lift your hips, and I'll slide this out. Good. Straighten your legs. Come, put your hips down and straighten your legs. Shavasana. Yeah. I'm going to put this on top of his thighs because he likes that. And a blanket under his head because he likes that. But you do you. Take a breath in and a breath out. Even a little short practice like that is good. Integrating, feeling the relationships, the effect of one thing to the other. Begin to deepen your breathing. Move your toes and fingers. Take a breath in, and as you exhale, place your right foot on the floor. And then place your left foot on the floor. Roll onto your right side. And then let your head dangle as you come up to sitting. You can grab that blanket there and have a seat grab. Turn facing the camera over there. Please. Just come on up and have a seat. Take a moment to just tune into how you're feeling right now. Whatever you notice is fine and interesting. And we'll finish with what's called nine-part breathing. It's alternate nostril breathing without using the fingers. So begin by taking a breath in through your nose and exhale out through your nose, and then breathe in through the left for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale right, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe in left, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe out right, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe in left, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe out right, 2, 3, 4. Now reverse, breathe in right, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe out left, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe in right, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe in left, 2, 3, 4, 5, breathe in right, 2, three, four, five. Breathe out left. Two, three, four, five. Breathe in right. Two, three, four, five. Breathe out left. Two, three, four, five. Breathe in both. Two, three, four, five. Breathe out. Two, three, four, five. Breathe in. Two, three, four, five. Breathe out. Two, three, four, five. Breathe in. Two, three, four, five. Breathe out. Two, three, four. And breathe naturally. Place your right hand in front of your chest. Left hand almost touching. Take a breath in. And as you exhale, feel your palms touching together. Inhale, separate the palms an inch. Exhale, hands together. Inhale, separate the palms. Exhale, feel the moment they touch. Thank you for this class together. We're going to finish with the dedication of merit. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be parted from freedom's true joy. May all beings dwell in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. Let's bow together. Thank you very much, everyone. So Jessica asked me to end a little bit early in case anybody has questions. So how are we doing for time, Jessica?
We are doing great on time. We have time for a question if anyone has one.
Okay, so I have a question. Long-time practitioner interested in strengthening poses, in particular down dog and plank, are hard on the wrists. Yes, hard on the wrists and the hands. So we're using a blocks for those, and also this wrist exercise I showed you. There's numerous ways to do that. And like I said, this is the kind of material that I'll be covering in my 50-hour course called The Dharma of Engaged Yoga and the Path of Sustainable Om Yoga, which is also the first module of my 300-hour teacher training. We'll be going through these kinds of exact issues. And so you can go to, you know, my website, cindylee.com, if you're interested in either of those. But also, one thing I have learned is that as you start to have things like that, like I can't do this because of my wrists or it's giving me a problem, the tendency is to not do that thing. But we have to keep moving. That's what I have learned personally. And there's lots of exercises and kind of deconstructions of what we might have done before. But it's also for many of us a process of understanding that we're not going to do downward dog exactly the same way we used to do it. Maybe you're doing forearm down dog. Maybe you're doing it on a chair. Maybe you're doing it at the wall, but you can still do a vigorous practice. So it's a little bit of having to do a paradigm shift so that letting go actually creates more opportunities. That sounds kind of vague, but I think that's the approach. Yes, so I'm putting my website here. Okay, she's got it for you, cindylee.com. There was another question. How to gauge if you're being sustainable? It's, you know, it's a moving target. It's always a process. So, I mean, something isn't sustainable if it keeps hurting you or you're not getting benefit from it. It's interesting to think about our goals too, as we change. You know, when I was younger,
I was really having fun doing big poses, and there was a slight performative aspect or almost sport aspect to it. Although my jam has always been, the Buddha Dharma and meditation, but still, you know, it's just fun to do arm balances and all of that stuff. And that's not so interesting to me anymore. Not because it's out of reach, although it's a little bit like out of reach in this, because I'm 67, I'm not 37, but it's also just not that interesting to me anymore. So, you know, we have to think about what practice means. What does it mean to you? When is my next meditation training? The meditation training, I'd have to look it up, but I think it starts in February, level one. That's also on my website, cindylee.com. It has three parts. The first part of it is meditation instruction. We really break down the practice. We practice a lot. The lineage of Buddhism, we talk about, so we understand really that what we're doing is more than stress release. We're really practicing a path to awakening and being present. And being able to be in our world with all the chaos and the craziness and the beauty. It's not an escape, but it's a refuge. So it's very different. Level two, you learn to teach mindfulness meditation in a group setting, like a yoga class, for example. And level three, you learn how to work with one-on-ones, privates. So all of that is on my site. The wrist thing is, you put your hand sideways, imagine this is the floor. Curl your fingers under one at a time, and then you roll over the top of your wrist and through. So you start on the side. You can do this at the wall. You can do the exact same thing at the wall. Curl your fingers under, press into the wall, curl around. You have to practice it a few times because it feels really weird, and I couldn't get it immediately. And I was almost thinking I would have to stop knitting for a while because I had so much pain in my wrist and my forearm and my elbow. And I learned this exercise and I did it and I haven't had any problems and it worked right away. So I hope that helps you.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I just have a couple of little announcements to make really quick. The first thing is that this, you're watching on the Yoga Channel right now, and next up in about 3 hours is Embody the Sacred with Anna Forrest and Jose Calarco. And we also have some really cool ways for you guys to interact and for this to be more than just a, you know, flat screen, you watching presentations all day. You can join a breakout room. So if you go to, it's portal.theembodimentconference.org/coffee-break. And we will put that in the chat. If you go there and then click find a session, it will redirect you to another Zoom session where you can open your camera and your microphone and everybody can just talk about, you know, these experiences that you're having. Oftentimes it's right after class and it could be you guys all chatting together about your experience with this. We also have a Facebook group, the Embodiment Conference Facebook group, where you can watch a lot of these live, and you can also comment and share and get together that way. So one more thing, we have an upgrade option, which people doing the upgrade option allows us to be able to put on this conference. And although you can watch them free for 48 hours, you get way more resources if you do the upgrade. So that link is theembodimentconference.org/upgrade. You get the videos, you get an audio only, you also get notes, and you get a learning plan from many of the presenters. So it's a really cool option to do. Thank you everybody for being here today. Thank you, Cindy, for being here today. Just gonna come back to you and say, is there we're supposed to ask if you have a number one tip for embodiment or something you want to leave us with today.
Yeah, I mean, my number one tip for embodiment is, guess what? We're already embodied. That's what it means to be a human. I think we as long as we're alive, we're in our bodies. So sometimes we don't like that, or we want our bodies to be different. So I think the number one tip is to just feel grateful for the body that you have. You know, we started the class by just rubbing your thighs and thinking about all the amazing stuff that your legs have done for you. I got 2 new hips 2 years ago. I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am for everything these legs have gone through. So, you know, just coming back to that, wow, what gratefulness I feel for being in this body right now today.
Thank you so much. I hope that everyone can check out your website and check out your new courses and join you in all of the things that you're doing. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Thanks, everybody. It's good to see you all.